just a brief talk on kindness, because I've been talking a lot lately to different groups, to the NHS, and to, as I've mentioned before, in some prisons, and to some school kids, and to business people, and a real mixture of people, really. And the thing I notice most is that people are worried about problems. They have problems. I did a big talk recently for some nurses, about a couple of hundred nurses, and the big issue was that there were problems, and a lot of the problems were to do with other people not being kind, other people not stepping up, other people not doing their job properly. And I could feel that people felt disempowered because of where they were, because of how other people were and how other people were reacting and how other people were acting. And recently I did this talk, and I was listening to some of the nurses talking before I actually did my talk, and I realised when they were talking that they'd fallen out of alignment. So they were very, very concerned about the unkindness they were seeing with some of their fellow workers. And what I said to them is what I've always said to myself, and what I'm hoping to say to you now is that what I've always said, we can't change the world, we can't change other people. The story of the world can't be changed. We can't change his story or her story or their story because it displeases us or because it makes us angry. All we can do is change our story. But what I found is when we change our story, their story will change. The story of the world will change when we change our story. So we need to be the change we want to see, as Gandhi said. I think it was Tolstoy that said, you know, everybody wants to change the world, nobody wants to change themselves. From my own experience in this short, infinite 53-year sojourn on this spinning planet, I've learned that the only thing I can change is me. And the moment I go external and try and change other people, it backfires on me. But I find that when I change me, the world around me changes as well. It's a direct reflection. So if I cleanse my own prism, the lights shine outside much clearer. You see the world in a different way. Problems are a sign of life. I could take you to a graveyard now and show you several hundred people, 7,000, several thousand people, millions of people who haven't got problems. Problems are a sign of life. They're a gift. And sometimes we get so caught up in our problems that we don't realise that we need problems. We are a problem-solving species. So I always say to people, if the girl next to you is being unkind, make sure you're twice as kind. If those people over there are being very unkind, why don't you be 3 times as kind, 10 times as kind? If that whole group, if that whole religion or that whole caste or that whole culture is being very unkind, be 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times kinder. You have the power to do that. And I'll tell you what happens. Someone's knocking at my door. Yeah, I'm going to carry on because that's the kind of professional I am. What I find is that when you are kind and you're genuinely kind from an aligned place, not kind, you know, with conditions, but kind because it's the right thing to do, there is an automatic death of ego. There is an automatic death of separation. There is just this birth of connectedness. Everything connects. And when you are kind, when you're extremely kind, you'll find that all the people around you will want to be kind as well. They'll want to follow your example. They'll be inspired by your kindness, because kindness and generosity is beauty. People become beautiful when they're kind. People become beautiful when they're generous. That's why there are so, when I meet generous people, there's so few about. I'm working with a guy at the moment called Warner Stevens, and he's just one of the most generous souls. And I work with a guy called Martin Carr as well. I was talking to him the other day, I met him, he produced my film, Clubbed. And I couldn't believe what a kind, generous guy he is. And it makes them both very attractive. You want to be around them, you want to be with them, because they're kind and they're generous, but without any conditions. There's no hidden agenda. And the reason we become beautiful when we're generous is because in being generous, we become a conduit for divine essence. we become an opening, an inlet and an outlet for divinity. And when people feel divinity, you become very attractive, you become beautiful. Something Swedenborg said, Swedenborg did an interpretation of the Old Testament. I think Genesis and Exodus, the books of Moses, two of the five books of Moses. And he said that real beauty comes from generosity. And the reason it comes from generosity is because people that are very, very generous are generous, and people that are very kind are kind because they know there's an infinite amount of energy to share. And the more they share, the more they get. They also know that when they share their essence, they become their essence. So if I share love with you, I have to become love, I have to process love to share it. So people become beautiful because they are filled with divinity. So we don't need to worry about the fact that she's doing it wrong, he's judgmental, they're angry, he's jealous, she's tight, you know, that those people are backward, you know, those people are on the wrong track. We don't need to worry about that. It's just a judgmental distraction from your own power, from your own responsibility. It's people projecting out because they don't want to take responsibility for their own infinite power, for their own infinite potential. It's much easier for me to be distracted by a big, gauche, you know, abstract thing over to the right of me than it is to look at my own life and say, why am I not doing it? Why am I not creating more? Why am I not kinder? Why am I not more generous? Why am I teaching, living and teaching small? So I used to look at the world and think, fucking hell, the world's a bag of frogs. Where do I start? How do you go out there and change anything when there's so much going wrong, there's so much happening? And of course I thought, well, I don't need to. I just need to come back and change me. And in changing me, everything's affected. It's really beautiful and it's very powerful. But again, this birth of consciousness that I've talked about on other podcasts, and this delivery of consciousness, this delivery of essence, makes you so beautiful that people want to travel from across the world to exchange energy with you, to sit in front of you, to touch that hand, to be in your presence. And it's not because of you. We're just the conduit, but it's because of what we are a conduit of. It's because they feel divinity through you, they feel love through you, they feel generosity through you. That's why if you're in the company of somebody and they're afraid of you, you're lost. You're already lost. If you haven't got control of your conduit and the essence, then you're just going to spill out and damage people. And when you see people that are angry, when you see people that are tight and people that are not generous, you see people that become, you know, very ugly. I spoke with a couple of people, I met a couple of girls who have been extremely physically beautiful. But the moment you're in their company, this beauty just dissipates and they become really ugly because they're so unkind. I'm not just talking about girls in general, I'm just talking about people. That's just one of my experiences of meeting somebody and you're thinking, fucking hell. I met one guy who was, doesn't really matter who he is, but it was this one particular guy, and I've met several like this, who was just in incredible shape, a really big, lumpy, you know, physical guy. But he was so ugly. He was so ugly because he was so afraid and he was so insecure and he was so tight. He didn't want to share his breath, let alone anything else. And I just remember thinking, if you knew the power you had to transform people's lives just by being kind, just by being kind, just by being generous, you wouldn't be wasting your time with this aggression, because aggression is like that tiny. It's the weakest place to be. We need to change that and make something beautiful from it. So it's a look. I remember working with a guy many, many years ago. We worked in a nightclub. And it was a kind of a rough environment. And this club I worked in had probably the 12 top fighters in the city working there. And the guy I was working with was physically didn't look beautiful, but he was the most beautiful man. And every one of these guys, every single one of them, would have died for him. We all loved him. the way he talked to you, he was congruent, he was so generous with his time, with his energy, with his love. He was the nicest, most capable guy, but he was so very beautiful because of how present he was and how generous he was. And everybody wanted to touch him, wanted to be around him, the blokes and the women. He had lots of women after him because he was so beautiful. But he was physically, he wasn't, you know, if you looked at a photograph of him, you wouldn't see that. But he always had very beautiful women around him, and all of the men loved him. We would do anything for him. And we sadly watched how this particular guy drifted over to a darker path. And everybody that had originally loved him was suddenly afraid of him. Everyone that had originally wanted to do anything for him wanted to keep away from him. And everyone that admired him suddenly didn't admire him. And mostly they hated him because they were so afraid of him. And I watched this guy lose all his power. And it looked like he'd gained more power because of the area he went into was quite a lot of money. And it was crime, but there was a lot of money and a lot of material possessions there. But in gaining the world, he'd lost everything that was really important. So I watched this guy physically become ugly. I watched him become physically grotesque. And then you see other people. I remember when my daughter had a car crash once, and we were sat in the my daughter rang me straight away. This is my daughter Lisa, because any problems she always rang me first, because she's a daddy's girl. And I sat in the hospital with her, and she's very beautiful, but her face was quite damaged. And I remember my aunt coming in, my Aunt May. This is just random. My Aunt May had never met my daughter. She was a distant aunt. But she came in and she saw my daughter, and the kindness just oozed from her. I can still remember it. It must have been 15 years ago. The kindness just oozed from her. She was so present and so generous and so beautiful to my daughter. I've never forgotten it. I've always held it as an ideal in my mind. And I thought, that's what I want to aim for. I want to be so kind and so present and so loving that I become beautiful, because I become the essence of God. That potential is in there for everybody. You know, this thing about beauty is all about generosity. It's all about being the deliverer of love. That starts with us, the way we talk to ourselves. Most people sit and take more shit off themselves than they would from anybody else. They sit and listen to their own negative shadows. They'd never sit and let anybody else talk like that. So first of all, we have to be kind to ourselves. We have to be kind to ourselves by dissolving all the old shadows that are not kind. And then we have to be kind to the person we're sleeping with, the person we share our breakfast with, to our children, to our immediate family and friends, and then to the world at large. When we're kind to people, we process kindness and we deliver kindness. But it's got to start with ourselves. If we are not intrinsically kind within ourselves, it's difficult to be kind to anybody out there. If we're not aligned within ourselves, we can't help anybody else to become aligned. So it's no good being clumsy architects of this reality. We've got to recognise that if we want a beautiful, if we want to be beautiful and live beautifully, which is what God wants us to do, that's certainly my intuition. If we want that, then yeah, we need to start with ourselves. If you're not kind to yourself, and you're not aligned within yourself, and you're battering yourself and hurting yourself and damaging yourself all the time, how can you help the world? We've got to help ourselves first. We cannot mend other people while we're not mended. I've got one friend that's, you know, wants to take on fundamentalists. I said to him, you can't even solve an argument in your own house. You can't solve an argument in your own body. You're not even sure who you are yet. You're 10 different people every time I see you. You've got to be aligned yourself first. When you're aligned yourself, when you're present yourself, just being present is enough. Then everything else is a bonus. So our capacity to be kind is unlimited. But if we're not kind to ourselves, we can't be kind to other people, because it won't be aligned. We've got to start from here. This is the hub. You know, if we have unkindness and division within us, then we're going to be as unkind as we are kind, we're going to destroy as often as we create. So this potential is just infinite and amazing, but we've got to start with ourselves. We've got to start with our biggest teachers, which are the people we're living with, our wife, our sister, our mom, our dad, our friends, you know, our enemies, everything. The people that are closest to us, they're telling us what we need to work on. They are reflections of where we need to work. So if you want the lessons, they're there, they're right in front of you. But be kind. Create a kind universe.